Late Nights having a field day with Matt Gaetz. Investigators were looking into a trip Gaetz took to the Bahamas with a, quote, marijuana entrepreneur and hand surgeon, Stephen Colbert, with a very Stephen Colbert-ish joke that I don't think is great. Yeah, marijuana entrepreneur and hand surgeon, which means he can cure your carpal tunnel and turn your thumb into a bong. Not loving it. Kimmel a little better with, by the way, if your hand surgeon is also a marijuana entrepreneur, probably a good idea to learn to write with your feet. Colbert, I know Gaetz is from Florida, but Bahamas sex trafficking with weed peddling hand surgeon is almost too Florida even for him. Kimmel, good luck, Matt Gaetz. Maybe he just loves Trump so much that he wants to go to jail with him. Is that possible? Colbert, Gaetz is going to get screwed, and as usual, he's going to have to pay for it. See, that's a great rebound, Stephen Colbert. Great rebound. What a funny joke. Kimmel, now might be a fun time to remind people of this tweet Matt Gaetz posted just before Michael Cohen testified in Congress about his former boss, Donald Trump. That tweet said, hey, Michael Cohen, do your wife and father-in-law know about your girlfriends? Maybe tonight would be a good time for a chat. I wonder if she'll remain faithful while you're in prison. She's about to learn a lot. Kimmel tagged it with, oh, karma, you old rascal, you. Yikes. From the AV Club, Joel Hodgson can't wait to show you what he's been working on. Joel says, it's the benefit of having a year being locked in the guest room with lots of time to come up with ideas. What's he working on? More Mystery Science Theater 3000. Yay. Netflix had declined to order more MST3K in the fall of 2019. So Joel and the team have been hard at work keeping the tapes circulating, so to speak. Pre-COVID-19, that meant mounting live tours. During the pandemic, that's meant putting new spins on old episodes and reuniting cast members. Now they're ready to unveil the next chapter. Here's the announcement. Nearly 6 years ago, MST3K was reborn thanks to a record-setting Kickstarter campaign. Now Hodgson and company have launched a new crowdfunding effort for a 13th season with a key distinction. There's no Netflix involved, no cable channels either. If hashtag make more MST3K reaches all of its goals in 30 days, 12 new feature-length episodes and 12 shorts will be delivered directly to Misty's shortly after completion via a dedicated MST platform. Jonah Ray is set to resume the role of yellow jumpsuited test subject Jonah Heston. There are so many consonants in that sentence. You have no idea how many times I read it. You only got to hear it once. Jonah Heston will team with robot friends Tom Servo, played by Baron Vaughn once again, and Crow T Robot, Hampton Yunt once again, to lampoon the bad movie sent to them by mad scientist Kinga Forrester, played by Felicia Day, and Max Patton Oswalt. While the faces and voices will carry over from the most recent TV iteration of MST3K, the show is preparing to turn away from the binge release model of the Netflix seasons. Yeah, that did, it's too much. Like, I can't sit there and watch 12 hours of things, Netflix. Get with the program. Once a week, Disney Plus is like, here's half an hour of Falcon and Winter Soldier. And I'm like, cool. Here's half an hour of The Mandalorian. I'm like, cool. And then Netflix is like, hey, I just gave you 15 hours of homework. You better watch it before the internet spoils it. So I just don't watch. Because I'm old. New episodes will roll out individually on the Gizmoplex, which is the name of their platform, Joel says. It's a little richer experience. Boy, every sentence in this thing is like consonants. It's a little richer experience for the people making it and doing it the traditional way. It's better for watching, too. Having them paced out one at a time, it's really the style that built our show. We really ignored the way TV was made back then, and it just kind of made it work for us. Yeah, I used to watch the show Saturday nights, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock or so. Loved it. The Laugh Button spoke to Nate Bargatze, and they were like, you have so many awesome things happening right now. Tell us about your new podcast, Nateland, on the All Things Comedy Network. Nate said, it's a very lighthearted show. I remember Bill Burr saying to think of it like morning radio, just be funny. I'm a huge Bill Burr fan, said Nate, also said Johnny Mac. He was just starting to catch heat when I was starting out, so I got a front row seat to watch him take off, and I always loved Bill Burr. Then with the shutdown, we were all stuck and not doing a lot of stuff, and being funny is like a muscle that you have to work. It's easy to get lazy and sit there and get sad, which is not good for comedy. You just have to be funny, and I could do a podcast and be funny, so I started Nateland right here in my house. I have a studio we made, and we recorded with two comedians from Nashville, Aaron Weber and Brian Bates. The Daily Beast spoke to Lisa Lampanelli. Beast said, I think for people who know you from the roast and insult comedy, there's a really intense contrast between the person you were on stage and hearing how you talk about self-love and all these things. Do you feel like there was an anger to your comedy that you're trying to let go of? Lisa said, insults and anger are two different things. The insults were with love, which is why people would come back two or three times. It's like watching Rickles or listening to Howard Stern. So I always knew how to do the insult comedy. It took me 20 years to learn how to do it to not hurt an individual's feelings. But if you and I had sat down as friends and talked in real life, even when I was in the comedy business, it would have been like this. I was never insane off stage. So I think snapping at people on stage, that was probably when the anger came out, but not in the insults themselves. Beast said, you're kind of an equal opportunity offender like Don Rickles was. Did you worry about getting canceled? Lisa said, no, because here's how clueless I was. I didn't even know about cancel culture. I was so focused on myself and my career and my own pain and anger and grief. I was like, what? It's wrong to do a joke about people. She's the R word here. I won't use it. What? It's bad to say the N word, even if you don't mean it. So I was still doing shows my way. I was kind of grandfathered in like Rickles was. So it didn't occur to me to retire because of that. But I think it's a happy accident that I did. I think a good byproduct of retiring for me is that there will never be a trans kid in the audience that I hurt. Even if it's an accident, you should apologize. I'll always apologize to an individual. I've had incidences of people saying I hurt their feelings on stage, and we talk about it. I'll never apologize to a group, but if it's an individual, he or she is getting a chat and an apology for sure. The Last Laugh podcast spoke to Joe Coy. Last Laugh said, you talk about opportunities that you turned down for various reasons. One was Comedy Central's Kims of Comedy, which was a special featuring four Asian comedians that was offered to you, and you said no. And then you also turned down the chance to be Chelsea Handler's sidekick on Chelsea Lately. Joe Coy said, no disrespect to the Kims of Comedy because I'm friends with them. I'm friends with Bobby Lee, Ken Jeong, Kevin Shea, and Steve Byrne. I love those guys. And I was supposed to be number four, and I said no to it. I was working at Nordstrom Rack at the time, and I needed the money. My son was a newborn, but my goal and my dream was to be a stand-up comedian, and I wanted my hour special. Why is it that none of us had our own specials? Bobby Lee is funny on his own. He deserves an hour special. This is before Ken Jeong was in The Hangover or anything. He was literally going by Dr. Ken Jeong. He would go up on stage with a guitar and then go home because he was a doctor. We're all funny on our own, and we all deserve specials. Why do we have to come together as one on Comedy Central? Don't get me wrong. When I saw it air on TV, I was kicking myself like I made the wrong decision. And then I saw them all blow up, and I'm glad I made the decision that I did because I wouldn't be where I was right now. Chelsea Handler, on the other hand, she told me about the idea for Chelsea Lately and went really far to the point where we're about to shoot. But when it came down to actually taping it, I pulled out, and for the same reason, I wanted my hour special and I wanted a Joe Coy show. She cursed me out so hard on the phone. I didn't want to be known as the sidekick. I knew if I took that on, I would be known as Chelsea Handler's guy on the side. I didn't want to be Andy Richter or Ed McMahon. I wanted to be Joe Coy. She cursed me out so hard on the phone. And I get it. She was offended. She knew that this thing was going to be a hit. And here I am pulling away as if I don't believe it or something. I would have done the same thing. And when the show premiered, I remember just saying to myself, I effed up. I'm doing a quick look here. Chelsea Lately ran 7 seasons and had 1,048 episodes. That is stunning to me. So I'm glad it worked out for you, Joe Coy, but you missed some paychecks there. So my whole thing last week with the Top Dog, Friends vs. Seinfeld, it was a total bust. You're on Instagram at Daily Comedy News. Low response. Didn't work. Seinfeld the sitcom in a total walk. Nobody voted for Friends. Wait till HBO Max finds out about that. Their whole thing has been, hey, we're going to reunite Friends. Okay, good luck. So what should we do this week? I'm going to try something wacky again. It might work. It might bomb. So Seinfeld is the defending champion sitcom. And Dave Chappelle, the comedian, is the defending champion comedian. Let's do this. This week, my question to you, who is comedy's top dog? Is it Seinfeld, the sitcom, or is it Chappelle's show, the show? So I'm not asking you about Dave versus Jerry. I'm asking you about the shows. Is it Seinfeld, the show, or Chappelle's show? You go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News. You find the little graphic that I made and you vote in the comments. And then during the week, I read your comments and I fill out my podcast. See how this works? Instagram at Daily Comedy News. The Hollywood Reporter spoke to Henry Winkler. I met Henry once. He was the nicest guy, and I'm sure he's heard it a million times, but I had to say to him how excited, I don't know, 45-year-old me at the time would have been to tell 7-year-old me that I was standing with Henry Winkler. The Fonz, man. What a nice guy. Everybody who's ever worked with him says only great things about Henry Winkler. Henry told The Hollywood Reporter, I got Barry at age 72, and I've loved doing it. We were doing a table read this time last March, about to start shooting the third season. The next day, they said, stay home. First, I heard we were going to restart in July, then October. I would have been fearful because it's hundreds of people you have to keep safe and healthy. In the beginning of this, we'd have 13 members of the Winkler family, my wife, me, our children, our grandchildren at the house outside. And then it started to dwindle. The exception was the grandchildren who had classes on our front lawn on different days of the week. Listening to the yelling and the running and the squealing and the eating of chips was so fulfilling. Those noises were a lifesaver. At some point, TV director Stephanie Ling came to me and said, I have this idea of making a COVID movie. Henry said, I have no idea what you're talking about. The pitch, it's Margot Martindale, Ann Dowd, Judy Greer, and these wonderful young actors, and we're all sent a laptop and a stand and a microphone and some iPhones and miles of wire. Suddenly, I'm the cameraman, makeup artist, and costumer. The movie's called Shoot the Rooster. I have no idea what it looks like. All I know is that Margot Martindale is one of the great scene partners, and we were never in the same room, so I was doing really well until October. I was in the middle of writing the 36th children's novel that Lynn Oliver and I have done together. Wait, Henry Winkler has written 36 children's novels? What? That sounds like weekend filler coming up some weekend, doesn't it? It sure does. And the weight of the pandemic and our politics put me in a hole. I couldn't function. It was heavy and scary, and I've always seen myself as that clown toy that has sand at the bottom, and you hit the clown, and he goes down, and he pops right back up. I just couldn't care about writing. My mind went dark. I felt like I was stuck in molasses. Eventually, I went, so be it. I'll never do this again. That'll be that. And then somewhere in January, I climbed out of the hole, took a shower, and now we're on chapter 21. I've gotten my two shots. I can't wait to get back to Barry this summer. That brings us to Saturday. My wife and I went to a friend's house, six of us all vaccinated, the same group that's gathered on and off for 40 years. We go to dinner, watch a movie, have some popcorn, discuss the movie, and go home. This was the first time we'd done it in over a year. We watched Coming to America, but it didn't matter what the movie was, and the night was joyful. It was as if the whole awful scary year didn't exist. Hey, I forgot to plug Palace Intrigue on Friday. Prince Philip, the Queen's husband, passed away. Palace Intrigue is a 5-minute podcast about the royal family. I'm the head writer on that, and we're doing a lot of Philip stuff over the weekend and again this week. So if the royal family interests you, Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows, that's your comedy news for today. You can follow this show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Palace Intrigue in those same places. If you like what I do here and you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Click on the $5 button. I will take your money and I will buy a nice coffee and I will drink it. See you tomorrow.